भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो वेलकम टू कृष्ण बलराम टेंपल श्रीमद् भागवतम क्लास कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट 10। द्रव्ययज्ञे यक्षमानम् द्रव्ययक्षे यक्षमानम् द्रुत्स्वाभूतानि बिभ्यति द्रुत्स्वाभूतानि बिभ्यति एषा मा कर्णो हन्या एषा मा करुणो हन्या अतज्यो हि असुतृप्ध्रुवाम् अतज्यो हि असुतृप्ध्रुवाम् द्रव्ययज्ञे यक्षमानम् द्रुत्स्वा भूतानि बिभ्यति एषा मा करुणो हन्या अतज्यो हि असुतृप्ध्रुवाम् द्रव्ययज्ञे यक्षमानम् दुःस्वा भूतानि बिभ्यति एषाम् करुणो हन्या अतज्यो हि असु दृष्ट्वा बाय सीइंग भूतानि The living entities, animals, bibhyati, become afraid. Esaha, this person, the performer of sacrifices. Ma, us, akaruna, who is inhuman and merciless. Hanyat, will kill. Atatya, most ignorant. He, indeed. Asutrup, who is most satisfied by killing others. Dhruvam, suddenly. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. S.E. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Upon seeing the person engaged in performing the sacrifice, animals meant to be sacrificed are extremely afraid, thinking, this merciless performer of sacrifices, being ignorant of the purpose of sacrifice and being most satisfied by killing others, will surely kill us. Purport. Animal sacrifice in the name of religion is currently practically all over the world in every established religion. It is said that Lord Jesus Christ, when 12 years old, was shocked to see the Jews sacrificing birds and animals in the synagogues, and he therefore rejected the Jewish system of religion and started the religious system of Christianity, adhering to the Old Testament commandment, Thou shalt not kill. At the present day, however, not only are animals killed in the name of sacrifice, but the killing of animals has increased enormously because of the increasing number of slaughterhouses. Slaughtering animals either for religion or for food is most abominable and is condemned herein. Unless one is merciless, one cannot sacrifice animals either in the name of religion or for food. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamine नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी प्रश्चत देश तारिणे एवरीवन जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंदा Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So everyone can repeat. Upon seeing the person engaged in performing the sacrifice, animals meant to be sacrificed are extremely afraid, thinking this merciless performer of sacrifices, being ignorant of the purpose of sacrifice and being most satisfied by killing others, will surely kill us. So this killing is going on mercilessly throughout the world. That's what Prabhupada is saying here. But for devotees, this is very painful. You know, Vaishnava is para dukhe dukhi and para sukhe sukhi. Right? Is your language? If we see other in pain, then we should be in at least twice as much pain. And rejoicing with others is also part of Vaishnavism. We have to be ideal examples in the society. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he was outstanding example in the society. You know, whatever he preached, he practiced. He performed so much tapasya so that we could all follow in his footsteps. Therefore, para dukhe dukhi is the topic of the day today, whereby animals are slaughtered mercilessly. And here Prabhupada is explaining that Jesus Christ, when he was only 12 years old, how old? Only 12. And he was in the midst of complete barbaric society. You know what barbaric means? What is barbarism? You have no idea. Barbaric society is where they have to teach the children how to respect their mother and father. You know? One of the 10 commandments is that one should learn to respect the mother and father. You know? And then one of the commandments in the Bible is thou shall not kill. So Prabhupada used this thou shall not kill many times, and he uses it here in the Bhagavatam also. And the reason he brings it out is because a meager child of 12 years old, he is coming out and he is preaching. Why? Because when he went from wherever he was in the Himalayas, you know, back to the European continent, people were very barbaric. There was no mercy for anyone. There was absolutely no mercy for animals, even for human beings. It is said, like, when we think of slave trade comes in much later on, when Columbus went and so-called discovered the existing, you know, continents in the world. But, and then they took a lot of Africans and Indians away to America and other parts of the world, just to slave them away. But before that, it says, even before that, in Europe, slavery existed. There was upper class society and the lower class society. So they were utilizing or using or engaging those people who were considered as sudras, as slaves. And if the sudras failed to follow any commands, they were mercilessly in the public slaughtered. You know, if you look at some of the historic books in the history museum in England, they have these books, like big books, and they're showing how human beings are held upside down and they're slaughtered because they failed to follow a command from the king or one of the government officers. They would take the men away to slave them away. They would take the ladies away to slave them away. So these atrocities have been going on for generations. We only know something that happened maybe 50 years ago, 100 years back, or if you're really in depth, you know, historian, you study all this and then you figure all this out. But he is Jesus Christ. When he comes and he sees birds are being slaughtered in a synagogue. Synagogue is like a temple, you know, place of worship. Jewish people, they call us the temple a synagogue, and sometimes they call a temple also a temple. You know? So Jesus was very perturbed because he could see this was wrong. Immediately he could see this was wrong. You know? He could see that slaughtering of the animals was also very wrong. So he reverted to the Old Testament, the original Bible. Human beings, we are very, very expert in changing things to suit ourselves. You know, because of lack of knowledge, we do that. Because of mode of ignorance, we do that. That we think, it's okay, nobody's watching, I can change this sloka, or I can brush this particular statement under the carpet. You know, I'm the leader, I'm the king. So everyone will follow me. But ultimately they are misguiding the society. You know? And then you can see what happens over the generation. There's one wrong and then there's two wrong. Then before you realize there's 2 million wrongs and there's complete chaos in the society. And then they have civil revolution, you know, or industrial collapse. So different forms of disasters come because the scriptures are not being followed properly. Jesus Christ endeavored very hard to bring out the understanding of thou shalt not kill, as you sow, so shall you reap. You know? It's like Newton's third law of motion. Every action, there is a reaction. You know? We call it karma. You know, you can have vikarma, you can have akarma, and you have karma. Right? So depending on which kind of karma you are performing, Newton's third law of motion will react also. It's law of karma. You know, if you do good deeds, you get good karma. If you do bad deeds, then you'll have to suffer for it. And if you are above the mode of goodness, if you are on a Brahma-Buddha platform, then that is a karma. Here, the word, one of the words used is akaruna. Krishna is actually Karunanidhi. And we are followers of Karunanidhi. But if we are not followers of Krishna, if we don't follow Krishna, we don't understand the science of Krishna consciousness, then we also fall in the category of akaruna. Akaruna means somebody who is merciless, ruthless. We see from this chapter here that only slaughtering of animals. But in reality, there are so many children being aborted. In the name of politics, so many people are being slaughtered. You know, especially in the third world countries, every time there is an election, there is a revolution, and then there is gunfire, and they use knives, then so many people are killed before somebody is appointed to be the next president of the country. You know? So this is going on, and this is going on basically again because there is lack of knowledge. Nobody wants to follow the science of God. Every religion, practically every religion, stresses on the importance of being kind to others. You know? Treat others as you would like to be treated yourself. You know? And even in Quran, you know, there are so many quotes. You know, generally, as devotees, we should educate ourselves. At least the basic fundamentals of all religious principles. Because we are preaching. We are preaching out on the street. So you will be meeting a Christian one day, next moment you will meet a Muslim, next moment you will meet some Buddhist, next moment you will meet some, you know, some atheist, and next moment you will meet some really curious guy who is looking for Krishna. And if you are smart, you will see Krishna in everyone's heart as Paramatma. And you know that everyone is eligible, regardless of what culture they are brought up in, or what science they are following, or what religion they are following. In the Quran, in verse 638, it says, there is not an animal that lives on the earth, nor a being that flies with the wings, but they form communities like you. They form, right? You see, even ants, you see how ants are so organized? Can you imagine if you had to run like ants? They are moving so fast all the time, and they are working, and there is so much coordination. There is never accidents. They don't need Red Cross or emergencies or, you know, 100 to dial the police that we just somebody, you know, stepped on my toe. The ants are moving around so systematically. Yet we are in such deep ignorance because they think, oh, it's simply an ant. But a smart person will say, well, look at that. They are so well structured. You know? That's what he's saying. This is what Muhammad is saying, that they also, every species of life has a communion. It's a community. And they are organized by the mercy of the Lord. Paramatma is seated in every ant's heart. Every aquatic's heart, every plant's heart, he is seated in every living being's heart, right? So there is a great opportunity for us to learn from every living creature. You know? And there is no reason for us to harm or hurt other living creatures. You know? And then he says, and they all shall be gathered to their Lord in the end. Ultimately, they are all protected by the Supreme Lord. The Quran further describes animals and all living things as in the sense they live in the way that Allah created them to live and obey Allah's laws in the natural world. Although animals do not have free will, they follow their natural God-given instincts, and in that sense they can be said to submit to God's will, which is the essence of Islam. Another quote there is 24:41 in Quran, it says, See thou not that it is Allah whose praise all being in the heavens and on the earth do celebrate. The birds in the air with the wings outspread, each one knows its own mode and prayer and praise. And Allah knows well all that they do. So there again, even birds are being protected. So those who calling themselves Muslims or Christians or Buddhists and in the name of so-called religion, they are actually killing mercilessly, then they are not actually Muslims. Prabhupada calls them Yavanas and Malechas. What? Yavanas and Malechas. Because they are not following. They don't understand. There is a time when Prophet Muhammad was asked that should the animals be treated with kindness? And he said, of course, yes, they must be treated with kindness. And just as he was talking, a donkey was passing and the donkey was branded, you know, like they brand the numbers. It's very cruel, you know, when they brand the cows and calves and animals, they use a hot iron thing and they just go on, bango, onto the thing. It's painful, you know. Just take a small needle, hit it up and see if you can touch it to your skin just for a moment and make a mark on your body. And they brand them. So Prophet condemned this. He condemns that such cruelty should not be carried out. Further on, if you research in the Quran, there's a lot of interesting points there. But he says, only under dire circumstances, like when they are living in the desert, there is no grains growing there, no vegetation growing there, you know. In that time and place and circumstances where there was no aeroplanes and there was no transportation and when there was nothing else to eat, you know, then he said, okay, you know, under dire circumstances you can kill. But even the killing, the sloka that is given to them for killing, it says, in this lifetime I am killing you and in some future lifetime you will kill me. Because the merciless, ruthless killers are so deeply living in the mode of ignorance, they are asked to repeat this sloka again and again and again, hoping that one day they will wake up. Jeev jago. No? Right? Unfortunately, due to politics and due to miscreants, all this science is lost. You know? In the name of Muhammad, in the name of Quran, they're teaching 5-year-old kids how to kill cows and bulls. No? And then sometimes they say, if you don't eat meat for more than 40 days, then you are not a Muslim. So this is their way of impounding. Eat meat, then you are a Muslim. But one devotee, he was explaining one of the lectures I was listening to, and he was saying that There are many countries like Malaysia and others which is heavily populated with Muslims. There isn't enough animals to feed them. They are living on vegetation and grains and everything. And once in a while they are eating meat because they just don't have enough animals to kill and eat every day. And what does it mean that if they don't eat meat then they are not Muslims? Allah is not saying that. There is no quote in the Quran that, you know, it says that you are not a Muslim if you don't eat meat. He's saying only under dire circumstances. No? Jesus Christ also only under one dire circumstances he created, because he was trained by yogis. You know, he had learned some siddhi. He was trained, the siddhi of being able to walk on water. You know, even today there are yogis who can do that. You know, and he had this siddhi like Draupadi. He had this, you know, benediction that from one pot she could feed so many people, unlimited number of people. But once she ate something from it, then it would not give anymore, you know, anymore prasadam. So Jesus Christ had this power also, you know. Like Hanuman had the siddhi, he could turn himself from a big person into a small, you know, small insect and jump out of the demon's mouth and continue to the journey to search for Mother Sita. So there are siddhis which are not easily available to us, because it's Kali Yuga, this is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, and we would very happily misuse any siddhis that we would have, right? Just imagine if you had the siddhi to make every day the prasadam that you think would be best, you know? I was shocked that this actually exists. Almost 35, 36 years ago I came and some devotees took me up in the mountains in Jammu and Kashmir area, and there was one person, he was sitting there and he would say, "What do you want to eat?" And he said, "Don't say it." And then whatever comes in your mind, so you think rasagulla, he will take something out from the back and give you rasagulla. Siddhi prapti, you know. Right? People are there like that. There are people sitting in the caves and you go and see them and then tell you, "Oh, okay, you have come from Bangladesh, or you come from Calcutta, or you come from Ceylon, Sri Lanka, or you are an American, come from America, and you also come from New York." They can tell, they don't need to ask you questions, because there is some siddhi that they have. So Jesus Christ had this siddhi and he created one fish, and from one fish he created many fish. And he fed the masses of people during that hunger region. But after that he didn't say, "Now go open up fish factories. Go fish all the fish from the sea and kill them and eat them." He didn't say that. Yeah? Lord Buddha, why does Lord Buddha come? Our own Vedic culture, the pandits became so degraded. They were abusing. You know, some of them were half killing the animals on the day before, so that they could use those animals in the sacrifice next day, and then after sacrificing the animals, they would eat them. That's not inscribed. There's no slokas that you torture the animals the day before, and then the next day you sacrifice them. There was an injunction, yes, you could sacrifice, but you had to have the siddhi prapti. You were supposed to know the proper mantras, so that when the horse was sacrificed, a human being would come out. Right? Dhrustadyumna and Draupadi, they came out of the fire sacrifice. Just like that. Yeah. This is the uniqueness, you know, of the science of Krishna consciousness. But if we don't understand the science, we do not know the science, then we should be very careful that we do not apply it whimsically, because we will for sure incur very, very heavy karmas. In one of the statements, in one of the lectures, Srila Prabhupada says that if you slaughter a cow, actually no scripture is encouraging to slaughter a cow or a bull. And those who do, they will incur very, very, very heavy karmas. In the karmas, he says that as many hairs there are on the body of a cow or a bull, that many lifetimes you have to come to suffer. You have to come to suffer. Just see. So, we cannot take it lightly. Not that that means you can go slaughter other animals completely, it's forbidden, you know. In the Bhagavad Gita, this is very nicely explained in chapter 5, text 18. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavihastini Suni Chaiva Swapake Cha Pandita Samadarsina. Pandita Samadarsina. A humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and a gentle Brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. Prabhupada puts in bracket, outcast. You know? And in the purport, Prabhupada is explaining, a Krishna conscious person does not make any distinction between species and castes. Why? Why we don't make distinctions? What is it that is seated in every living entity's heart? Who? You? Me? Krishna, right? Paramatma seated. That's why Prabhupada is explaining this chapter very nicely. That understand that the Super Soul is present in all bodies without distinction. Krishna is not saying, well, this is an ant, it's too tiny, I won't sit in that body. No? Otherwise, he will say, crow is black, I will not sit in a crow's body. No? There's no distinction for Krishna. He looks at every living entity with the samadristi. No? Samasarvesu bhutesu. He's looking at everyone with equal vision. No? So this is what the art we have to learn. Now that we understand that actually no religion is actually saying you must kill. Then what is it that commonly being said by all the religions? What is denomination? Is there any religion that says don't be kind to others? Is there any religion that says do not love each other? Is there any religion which says there should not be compassion? Right? Kindness. Who doesn't like others being kind to them? If I came and I became very nice to you, would you hate that? Would you push me away? Say Mukunda Dada Prabhu came from the altar and said, okay, today I have so much Mahaprasad, I'm going to give one plate to everyone. Out of the kindness of Krishna Balaram, today I'm distributing this Mahaprasad. How many of you would reject that? You know, sometimes you see when the pujari is coming on the altar with some tulsi leaves, everyone is dashing, right? You feel almost they're like, I'm going to make the barrier collapse. If you're standing in the middle at the front, suddenly you get so many hands going around your neck and everyone's trying to grab some mercy. Kindness is kindness from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know. Love, who doesn't like to be loved? You see one on the streets when a baby calf is there and a calf is there. My neighbors, they actually own cows and they have a baby calves. Then they take off the calves very nicely. Just like we read in the previous chapter in the Bhagavatam, that animals, cows, dogs, you know, and other animals, they should be treated just like you treat your own children. This is what Srila Prabhupada is saying. This is what Narad Muni is telling Yudhishthira Maharaj. No? So I see frequently then they give a shower to all the three cows. They bring the hose pipe out and they're cleaning the whole cow nicely. And then the mother cow, she licks the body of the calf. And when it sits down, the calf goes and puts the neck onto the mother cow's neck here, and they're lying down like this on each other. Who says that animals do not have feelings? Who says that animals do not have love? You know? Sometimes, and I've seen this, that when somebody dies in a family, you will see that from the eyes of the cows, tears will come out. In some places, especially in the West, you see that a dog is also crying when somebody in the family dies. Sometimes dogs will not eat for a few days. They are made to eat. Because they have so much attachment, they have developed, because that person gave so much love to that animal, that they develop that love. And the dogs can tell. They can actually see the Yamadutas coming and taking the soul away. You see? In any area, if you suddenly hear the dogs start crying in a particular sound, it tells you that somebody is going to leave a body in the area, you know. So, they have feelings also. They can feel, they'll shed tears. You know? Understanding this, that they have feelings, then we have a duty to perform. Animals cannot think and act like we can, but we can. We are empowered. We are empowered to read the science of Krishna consciousness. We are empowered by Srila Prabhupada. He says, preaching is the essence. He says, utility is the principles. Books are the basis. So this way, we utilize the principle of books are the basis. And that's why we have every morning listening to Bhagavatam class. Because we are acquiring knowledge. Remember in Bhagavad Gita what Krishna says? That knowledge is essential to understand. You know, that there is no discrimination. You know. If that knowledge, you will become a good follower of Karunanidhi. And preaching is the essence. We become merciful to others, not merciless. You know. This sloka is explaining that those people actually have no heart, they have no feeling, no understanding. That's why they are so merciless and they can slaughter. Slaughterhouses are slaughtering animals left, right and center. You know? Everything is haram. Everything is sinful. There is no such thing as halal or pure. So when we preach, then we make a big difference in lives of those people who are living in the mode of ignorance. I'll give you a simple example. My daughter was 7 years old and one day she came, we were in America at this time, and she said, "Pa, why can't I eat a burger? My friends all eat burgers." So I explained to her, "Do you know where the burger comes from?" So I went into the whole science. It comes from Giants. Giants is a show, you know, a superstore. So I told her, "No, it doesn't come from Giants," and explained to her how animals are slaughtered and then some flesh is put in this little wrap and that becomes a burger, you know. So I said, "Do you really want to eat that?" And she said, "No." But next day she went to the school and she told her friend, because it was her friend who was saying, "Why aren't you eating a burger?" So she asked the friend, "Do you know where the burger comes from?" "Yeah, it comes from Giants." My daughter said, "No, it doesn't come from Giants. Do you know how it gets there?" So she narrated the activity, how animals are killed, you know. And she asked her, the friend had a dog, "Would you kill your dog and eat your dog?" So animals should not be killed, we shouldn't. So this girl went home and told her mother, "I'm not going to eat any more meat," you know. Because she didn't know, she's only 7-year-old girl, she doesn't know what happens out in the cruel world. We have to educate them. No? Just a little child, a young child, if you explain to them, they will understand. They will talk about it to other children. Don't think it's simply an ant. It's simply my child. Prabhupada has given so much importance to the children. Yesterday I was reading a quote by Srila Prabhupada saying that children worship is more important than deity worship. Look at the quote Srila Prabhupada uses. Children worship, and he says that's because these children are special children in this age. You know, they are going to change the world. They are the ones who are going to drive the merciless people to become merciful. One person was a butcher. This is in Baltimore in America. And lunchtime he went to throw trash in a trash can. Trash can means a garbage can, you know. Jo kudadan hota hai na. He opened the can, he saw a torn piece of paper. Normally nobody would pick it up. But Krishna inspired to pick up that piece of paper, which was already messy, it was torn. And he started reading and he wanted to know where this science came from. He ended at our temple on the same day, same evening. He took a Bhagavad Gita copy and his whole life changed. No more a butcher. You have no idea how Krishna is going to reach to whom. You know, whatever your karma is at a certain level, it changes drastically. And if you endeavor in the right way, in the right direction, in the right manner, with proper surrender, with proper shraddha. Krishna is saying, shraddhavan bhajate yavam. Whoever comes with proper shraddha to me, I will bless them. Then there will be no more cycle of birth, death, old age, disease. Janma dukham, jaya dukham, jara dukham, antakale maha dukham. Right? Right from the birth to the death, pain, 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 suffering, suffering, suffering. That is part of life. So do you want to keep coming again and again, or do you want to follow Lord Chaitanya's instruction? Very simple, name ruchi, jivedaya, vaishnava seva. Just practice this, name ruchi. Chant the holy name, perfect the holy name, learn to feel the holy name, learn to hear the holy name properly, learn to vibrate with the holy name. No? This name ruchi. Jivedaya, give the holy name to everyone else. What is the Yuga Dharma? To preach the holy name. Harinam Sankirtan. Right? And Vaishnava Seva. Such a great opportunity we all have to serve each other. And we have so many Vaishnavas coming through here. You have no idea who's elevated at what level. No? Again, don't think and look at some Vaishnava, oh, he only looks like a bhakta, ignore him. You know? Or this person looks so elevated, I must serve him. Serve everyone without distinction. No discrimination. Serve everyone nicely. You know? So become follower of Karuna Nidhi. Do not be a Karuna Nidhi. So I'll stop here. Is there any questions or comments or experiences that you may have? So you all convinced? You can now go out and preach to everyone. Preach to all the meat eaters, make sure they do not kill anymore. So I'll end by what Krishna is telling us towards the end of Bhagavad Gita. He says, Man mana bhav mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskuru mam evasyasi satyam te prati jana priya samay. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Okay? Become friends with Krishna. It's right over here. Every day when you come here, recite this sloka and ask Krishna, please guide me, you are seated within my heart. How can I become a pure devotee? How can I worship you better and better every day? How I can offer homage unto you every day? When you learn, when you listen to Bhagavatam classes, hear very carefully. Sravanam. You know, this Sravanam is very important. Every day, the devotees who come to give lectures here, they prepare. They are preparing all the time. They come out with so many unique examples. They come out with so many wonderful instructions that are from the Shastra given to us by Srila Prabhupada. Make note of them and practice them. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki.